National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, Oral History 2. My name is Bernice Herzog. My respondent's name is Lillian Goldstein. Today is May 9th in the year 2000. Lillian, when we finished the last tape, you were discussing UJF. Would you tell us a little bit about it and your work?
Yes, I've enjoyed being on that committee very much. It is not only those that have made endowments to the UJF, but it's very interesting to read and to know what they're doing with the funds that they have. And people write in or are interviewed as to what they want, and then the committee decides, a special committee, not the whole committee of a group, a special committee of probably four people analyze what their wants are, and they decide whether to grant it. And of course some of the grants are very large too, because they're asking for certain students in certain high schools if we can contribute toward their passage to Israel. And the committee decides whether it can, and
That must have been a very interesting committee to be on.
Yes.
Now let's go further from that. At your years at Pitt, tell me about your years at Pitt.
Well, I'm an old timer, and my years at Pitt go back so far.
Okay.
But I just received a letter inviting me to the medical school graduation, where I have a scholarship there for my brother Eli. And I'm sending my RSVP in right away, because I'm glad to have any contact with the university that I graduated way back.
You talk about way back. When did you retire from teaching?
I retired from teaching in 72, that's a long time ago.
Well, relatively.
Yes. But,
what subjects did you teach?
Well, when I got out of Pitt, it was in the mid-year in a February class, and I was given a position right away. I don't know why, because jobs were hard to get that many years ago, and so I wanted to teach in the secondary school, but there were no openings, because in those days the teacher made that her livelihood, and she stayed there until the age of retirement. Quite different today. But so I started to teach up in the Hill District, where I could get a job right away. They needed somebody, and that was my first job. It's known as the Robert Lee Band, and it's up on Watt Street School. It was named, first it was called the Watt Street School, and then it was named after Robert Lee Vann, who owned the Courier, a newspaper called the Courier. And the children were very nice in those days.
What subject did you teach?
I taught a subject that was called oral expression, and my classroom was the auditorium, and I was responsible for putting on the plays for Memorial Day, for the birthdays of presidents like Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. And then we had an Easter program. So that was my job, to present plays for the entire school with the children that I had, period after period. But I kept inquiring from
how many years did you teach in the same there?
I never expected to stay that long, but in the interim, the single salary schedule for kindergarten as well as 12th grade became the same.
Do you remember what it was, just for comparison?
Oh, I had a letter saying you will start at the salary, but it was so nominal. It was so nominal, I tore it up. I didn't want anyone to think I'd worked for such a small sum. But I don't remember what it was, but it was really, compared to what it all was. Now I hear 50,000, and then I don't think I heard even 10. So there's quite a difference in
Then you went on to teach in the high school.
Then I went on for subject I was qualified for, which was Spanish and English.
Now, why did you, in your college days, choose Spanish? Was there any reason or?
There was a reason, because I traveled to Havana one Christmas on a cruise. And at that age, you were so pretty. Everybody was pretty at that age. And as we went into some of the places, oh, bonita muchacha, bonita muchacha, pretty girl. And I was just so flattered. I didn't know what they were saying, but they were smiling when they said it. And then they said other things, and I thought, oh, I wish I knew what they were saying about me. And when I came back from there the next semester, I signed up for a course in Spanish.
That's a wonderful reason. Did your sister, Jean, was she in college the same time you were?
Yes, but she's a little old. She was a little older, and she went then to the H.B. Frick Training School, which was only 2 years. And that's what a lot of the old-timers did. They went for 2 years, and then they went to Pitt for two more to get their B.A. degree, and that's what she did. So
subject did she teach?
She taught elementary. She was a perfect person for the little kids. She was a little motherly type, and they loved her. In fact, when she died, I went through her drawers to clean them out, and I found a note. Dear Miss Goldstein, my son Neil said if he can't have you next semester, he wants to fail, so you have to keep him back in your room for another semester if you're not going to teach the higher grade. Oh, I just cried when I did that, because I knew how she loved them, and of course it was reciprocated. She was one first grade teacher is what she was.
And she stayed that way all the
time? She stayed that way until she retired. She retired after 44 years, yes.
What year was that, do you remember? Now, you did in 72. Now,
she retired just a few years before me. I retired in 72. And then she retired in about 68, I guess, because we started to travel together right after that. So I guess that's about it.
Lillian, you mentioned several times that you and your family belong to B'nai Israel, okay?
Yes.
And later you went to Temple Sinai. Why? Why the change?
No. Jean taught at Temple Sinai, but we never remember there.
Oh, but Henry went there.
Henry went there Friday night. Yes. It was a place for him to go. He loved the late Friday night service. And when we would have Shabbos dinner together, he would leave about 7:30, because he definitely liked Rabbi Gibson, and he loved the service Friday night. Yes, but we were not members now.
But you went from B'nai Israel to Rosh Hashanah?
Right.
Now, according to what I can think of, that's a big change. B'nai Israel was conservative on the brim of orthodoxy, and Rosh Hashanah was certainly a liberal.
Definitely what you're saying is true.
How did you adjust, and what did you like?
Because my family was diminishing by that time, so the real orthodoxy was dwindling also. So without your parents being with you anymore, you took the path that you thought you were more likely to understand. And with that, B'nai Israel was my first love, of course. I was confirmed from there. First confirmation class that Rabbi Lichter had. And then I taught Sunday school at B'nai Israel. And then we did the trend that most Jewish people were doing, moved to Squirrel Hill. And Squirrel Hill became our rendezvous. And, of course, not having our parents or our older brothers and sisters around anymore, No, no, but I haven't gone yet. No, I'm way ahead of my story. We joined Rhoda Shalom. In fact, I taught Rhoda Shalom pre-confirmation class with, Milton Sussman's wife, yes, so you can tell what an old-timer I am. Mrs. Milton Sussman taught pre-confirmation class, too, and I remember that couple well. They were very ardent members of the community. And then I was entitled to a sabbatical. And
sabbatical from?
From the teaching. After you have taught 10 years, they allowed you to have a sabbatical.
Now, do you mean?
A year away to do some studying or whatever you thought was knowledgeable for you should have a year off. And I thought that was a wonderful opportunity. I took it the first year I was available.
That sabbatical was from the public schools, not from Temple School.
No, it was from the Board of Education. And you were entitled to three, and I took the whole three every 10 years. I took one, took advantage of it, and traveled around and saw the world, which was a great, great experience. When I came back, I decided I wanted to do other things, so I never continued my teaching at Rhoda Shalom, but my membership continued.
And you belong there now?
And I became a great admirer of everything that went on at Rhoda Shalom Temple, and joined, and of course, till my end of the days, will I continue that membership.
Henry, as you said, liked Rabbi Gibson at Temple Sinai. Now, what did he think when you made the change to Rhoda Shalom?
He was the type that davened a lot. Once I saw the sitter fall, and he picked it up and kissed it on both sides, and I was very, very much impressed with that. But and he knew his Hebrew, and he would say kaddish and those things that were essential. But he adapted very, very readily. He was ready for that, too. And he enjoyed a Saturday service. And he took the bus in the days when most everybody was driving, and he went by bus to Temple, but that was important to him. And he loved it. He learned more and more.
Can you tell us a little bit about the activities of your brothers Henry and Eli, some little things about him that them?
I have a letter from Rabbi Jacob, Dr. Jacob, excuse me, and it's such a flattering letter that I have kept it. It must be 30 years old, and he wrote about the Yahrzeit of Eli, which is the oldest member of the family. And he says, I'll never forget him. He was very philosophical. And he was working for a degree in philosophy from Dr. Hatfield, I believe his name was, at the University of Pittsburgh. And he went on to get degrees in the paper. I think it was the newspaper, the Chronicle, I don't remember. But the title of that had a picture of him looking through a microscope. And it says, M.D., receives M.A., and I kept that for a long time. I was just so thrilled with it. But I also have a letter from Rabbi Jacob that commented on Eli's Yahrzeit 1 year, and he says, I'll never forget how interested he was in adult Jewish education, and he said, we often had talks together about that. And who did he say was his model? Even at the moment, I can't think of this, but literary person was his modern Jewish literature.
How about
Mordecai Kaplan, Jewish Reconstructionist. Oh, yes, they used to talk about him all the time. Oh, I'm not that intelligent, but
How about Henry's activities? Tell us a little bit about Henry's activities.
Henry practiced dentistry in East Liberty for close to 50 years. And he of course, wasn't a great deal with the Y because he was right at the corner of the YMCA in East Liberty, so he would take his showers there and run back to the office because he was so handy. But when he retired, about 70, I think he retired, he joined the Y and as a health club member, and he was an ardent member there. He would walk down and feel so good, take all his bathing, and now a pleasant memory since he's gone, I ran into a Mr. Rubenstein who had his locker next to Henry, and he told me about a couple months ago that he never saw anyone so meticulous when he took his clothes off. He said how he would hang it up in the locker so neatly. It struck me funny, and I said to Mr. Rubenstein, who was a former president of the Home for the Aged, when it was called the Home for the Aged. He was president one year when I was on the board. And when he told me that story, I just laughed. I said, well, you're telling me the same thing that I see daily. I throw my clothes onto the bed or onto the floor. He never fails to get a hanger to see that the creases in his trousers were kept just right.
Well,
so
that
was meticulous. He really
that
was.
Lillian, I know that you've received many awards since your retirement and probably during your school days, but did you get any awards while you were in high school or in college? Scholastic awards, did you read?
No, I must admit not. The only thing that I remember, well, I remember seeing a picture in the paper for being in charge of a dance. Then you were that age, you know.
Yeah.
I was chairman of the dance.
But no awards,
no awards.
Scholarships or anything like that you can remember.
No, I'm trying to think now.
Okay.
I became president of junior council while I was teaching. I was 36 then.
Well, that was after your high school day.
After
right. What if any organization did you belong to help out in World War II? Like
World War II, that would be 1941.
Yeah, around
okay.
That.
Well,
did you belong to?
I belong to all of them now. Just how long, I don't know.
No, I mean something that would help the war effort, for instance, Red Cross.
No
organization that would help the war effort is what I mean.
No.
Okay.
I do recall the wonderful advisory board that I had at the junior Council of Jewish women like Mrs. Leo Schoenfeld, who was the president of the NAC of Women, and Mrs. Dorothy, such a charming woman, how can I forget her name? Dorothy Blumenthal,
oh.
For goodness sake, I admired her so much, I think I had to think about her name again.
Mm-hmm.
Dorothy Blumenthal and Mrs. Leo Half, oh my, such women, such efficient women that helped you and were your advisors during the presidency that I'll never forget the years that I was president then.
Lillian, you said you visited Israel, right? Can you give us your impression of Israel? Socially, economically, and religiously, your impression?
Well, I had been, I'm looking at a picture now of my last trip, and I see myself pointing to some names on a chart, on a billboard, of whom they are memorializing. And I'm pointing my finger. Oh, now I'm so old that I can't even see this blur. But I was pointing my finger at a name of the Pittsburgh people who are on there. Can you see any of them?
No, it's too small. Too small. Now, tell us about Israel like you saw it. economically, how were conditions there when you were there?
Well, my first trip was in 1955, when there was a medical convention of Jewish doctors, and my sister Jean and I were in France at the time, and we flew over to Israel. That was the first trip, and the convention was being held. 55, that's 45 years ago. That's a long, yeah. long time to talk about.
And, well, do you remember the socially, economically, and religiously?
Well,
do you remember Israel in any of those capacities?
No, just that we went to the highlights then, of course, which was the Wailing Wall, and I put a little note there, which was memorable to me. But
how were the social, what was the social life? I know you were only there for a short time, but how yeah. were the people socially?
Well, when you're on the tour, they manage to take you to places where people have signified their intention of wanting you. So they would take us to a house that was well equipped and that was expecting company, and they would invite you in. And you,
that was their best foot forward.
Yes, yeah. yes, definitely. So that.
How was the economics then? Was it poor for the country?
Well,
or? Or didn't you realize that
no.
you were there such
no,
a short time?
No, as a tourist, you don't no. see that. They don't,
right.
Of course, they'll take you to every
How time. About, did you run into any religious differences among the people? Were they mostly Orthodox? Was Reform trying to get a foothold? Or, do, or
no,
don't
I
you
don't think there was any distinction as to what you were then. I think all that came up later. Much later, even to now, it's number one on the list.
Okay. Lillian, how do you view your accomplishments? How do you view it?
Well, really, I never knew. I just did things that I liked and enjoyed. I didn't know, think anybody noticed it. I didn't think I did either. I just did things that were pleasant for me to do. And when I walk along Murray Avenue and people say hello to me, I have to stop some of them because I don't like to say hello to people until I know who they are. I like to assume their friendship in a definite way. And I'll say, do you know me? Oh, yes, we've seen your picture in the Chronicle many times. Well, then I thought, what is this? And then I'd meet someone else who'd say hello. And I'd say, do you know me? I saw your picture in the Chronicle many times. I just didn't know how to take that.
Okay, and that was your accomplishment.
They were calling me a celebrity.
See, well, now how do you...
Me, oh, everybody knows you. Well, I never felt that way. It was alarming to me.
Well,
because I just did such simple things that I thought that I enjoyed. And so many people seem to love me. And
of course.
And they forget me. I've seen your picture and you do things and I saw your name at JCC and I thought, oh, what is this?
Your accomplishments yeah. are related to your successes. And
I never expected it as anything. I have letters, oh, I'm a real hoarder. My room now is just filled with boxes of clippings. I can't throw them away because everything is so meaningful to me.
Right.
I see my picture. Yeah. And I like it so. I don't like the pictures I'm seeing today. I'm going to tear them up in a hurry. In fact, I'm not even taking them anymore.
What do you consider your most significant accomplishment? I know it's going to be difficult for you, but try to tell me what is your most significant accomplishment?
Well, I don't know what I would label first. Because there are a few. My latest one was endowing the synagogue at the JAA in the big building. And they're still fixing it up. I want it to be beautiful, and they're having services there. And I want a prettier curtain than the one that's up, and I want everything polished. But I endowed that in memory of Jean, my sister who was going on. And my latest thing that I have committed myself to now is for Henry. Hillel bought a plot of ground, and they're going to start building a home for Hillel students. And so I've already endowed the chapel over there. They haven't started to build it yet. They've been doing that for a couple of months.
Well.
But they're out taking care of endowments now. But I must say that the very first thing was the personal care unit at the old home, when it was called the Jewish Home. The Jewish Home for the Aged. The Jewish Home and Hospital for the Aged, I think that was the first name it ever had, and then they eliminated hospital because it wasn't one then. And when I endowed the personal care unit and saw it being built from a fifth floor that was just locked up, nothing, and they used their own help and had it done, it was beautiful. It was so beautiful, we asked the mayor to come out on opening night. And we had piano playing and hors d'oeuvres and everything. That was 10 years ago. So really, I can't illuminate. And then the Jewish Community Center, Henry and I have a room that I sent a meeting last week called Lillian and Dr. Henry Goldstein Multipurpose Room. And then when the Jewish Community Center first opened, Henry endowed the little room. It's next door to the room that Jean and I gave, the Jean and Lillian Goldstein Lounge.
Yeah.
Well, that lounge, the building is now 13 years old. That lounge is used extensively, and I'm just so proud of that because they use it for everything possible that they need space and serve. In fact, Henry's Lodge that he named after, B'nai B'rith Lodge, that he named after Eli, the Dr. Eli Goldstein B'nai B'rith Lodge, started to meet there, and it proved very, very successful because there's a lot of room, and it's a big room, and we were able to serve, and that lounge is used indefinitely now. So it's 13 years, and I'm just so proud. So I don't know. I'm a little off to say which one I consider my...
Your greatest.
My greatest, because I love them all. I love every one of them because each one had a different significance and named after another person. So if you will excuse me for not picking one, I would appreciate that because my heart is in all of them.
Did you do something for Weinberg Village?
Well, it's at Weinberg Village that the personal care was started. And when I decided to come down to Weinberg Terrace to live, I felt guilty because I felt I was part of that. Because I used to volunteer first before the room came. And I knew all the help for so long. And now that they see me, they even say, oh, I remember you. And I love that. I love to find out that these people remember that I came. And I worked in the gift shop for a number of years, and the Ladies Auxiliary of the Jewish Home for the Aged sponsors that. They don't make any money, they just want to have the things there, the sundries, the candies, shoes, sweaters that the older folks might need. And the Ladies Auxiliary gives many free things there, many that will come and get things for nothing.